Brothers and sisters, grateful to be with you tonight and to fill your spirit. For those of us that are set to be here on the stand, Elder Costa, Elder Tillman, and myself, we are grateful to be with Elder Ballard and Elder Raspant at the 12, and grateful for each of your presence here tonight. Thank you for everything that you're each doing to help build up the kingdom of God in this part of his vineyard. I'm going to add my testimony to a couple of the things that Elder Raspant talked about, the strength of the youth. We made sure that each member of our family, when we had several children at home, still that each of us and parents had a copy. We dedicated at least one family home evening per month to the strength of the youth. Several years ago, the Research Information Division of the church did a study of active families in the church. There were only 52% of active families holding family home evening. When asked why they weren't, why they weren't holding family home evening, the number one excuse was lack of ideas. So if you're lacking ideas, this has 18 or 19 terrific family home evening lessons. You could dedicate at least one family home evening per month. Talk to your youth, to your sons, your daughters. It makes a wonderful discussion. Great family home evening, man. Take you a few weeks to go through it. You are parents. It's been said, you've heard this before, that when a child is born, they don't come with a manual. President Hinckley used to say it this way, that when your first child is born, the curtain rises on the most important scene in your life without one dress rehearsal. But if you were to consider the scriptures as a parenting manual, and we really should, because it contains the many principles of the way the one perfect parent is raising his children. And very often, those principles don't make sense to the natural man or natural woman. But you have to be reading, and it's been fun to hear Elder Raspant talk about those war chapters. And Elder Ballard and Elder Raspant talking about councils. And this would be a war council, whether it's the word council or the family council. Those are some parenting principles that we've already discovered tonight. This additional aspect of meeting that Elder Raspant referred to, many of your questions dealt with children's self-worth being tied to the internet. It was asked in several different ways. The first concern was youth that are determining, equating their self-esteem to the number of likes or dislikes that they receive. That thumb could be the finger of scorn from the great and spacious building because it has such an influence. The second one tied to self-esteem was and when you read these studies, especially the young women who are comparing their own bodies to bodies that have been cherry-picked, photoshopped, airbrushed, they've been made to look perfect, the perfect human being. They pick the most beautiful people in the world and then make them even more perfect. And when our youth begin comparing themselves to pictures that aren't real, I think one of the words that is going to be identified as one of those words that Webster picks each year as the word of the year is going to be fake news. I think these pictures that portray false images, President Faust once identified the definition of a lie as purposely or intentionally portraying a false impression. And false impressions are portrayed constantly on the internet. And then the third area of self-esteem being tied with the media was everybody else seems to post their A material. And so our youth are thinking the whole world is up here while I'm down here. They're comparing their weaknesses to everyone else's strength, and it has a tendency to have an impact on the self-worth of our daughters or our sons. So I just wanted to share tonight two or three principles, parenting principles from our Father in Heaven that will have an impact. The first one has been mentioned by Elder Raspant, family search. In many respects, our youth are trying to find their identity, their self-worth, they're looking for acceptance on the internet. So if they can spend a little bit more time on family search, who we are, who am I, who the youth are, is going to be to a great degree determined by their history. We as a people, a church, our identity to a great degree is dependent on our history. Joseph Smith, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, etc. It's been fascinating for me to see converts coming into the church worldwide, whether it's Africa or China or Latin America. The moment they are baptized, Joseph Smith, Book of Mormon, the pioneers, becomes their history too. And who we are as a people is to a great degree tied to our history. Our history is our identity. A second insight, in one of those studies about self-worth and the internet, and this was a study done on young women, there's an inverse relationship between the amount of time spent on the internet and self-esteem. The more time spent on the internet, the lower is their self-worth. So this first insight comes from section 88. It's President Nelson recently shared this with the Quorum of the 12, the seven presidents. It's a New Year's resolution given to the church by the Lord. The reason he referred to it as a New Year's resolution, it was given to the Prophet Joseph Smith on December 28th and 29th of 1832 and on January 3rd, 1833. So it came right at the New Year. This is verse 124. Cease to be idle, cease to be unclean, cease to find fault one with another, cease to sleep longer than is needful. Retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary. Arise early, that your bodies and minds may be invigorated. I think one of the, if we can teach our children from, in the words of the Lord himself, cease to be idle. When we spend too much time on the internet at the expense of good, better, and best, then that excess time, I think, should be considered idle time because it's being done at the expense of the better or the best. Retire to thy bed early, arise early. I don't know if you've discovered this in your own life as I have, but if I stay up late, I tend to trade my morning scripture time for staying up late. I'll get up a little bit later. I won't have as many minutes or hours to dedicate to scripture study. I don't know how many times I've heard the senior brethren, many of the senior brethren say, revelation comes early. President Packer used to say, referring to Harold B. Lee, he would sometimes come into the church offices and he would say, early this morning. And he would say, and then I knew he was about to share revelation that had come to him in the morning. Going to bed earlier, arising earlier, tends to shift maybe good time for better. So one challenge from the Lord to the youth, to all of us, retire to thy bed early, arise early. We'll tend to spend less time on the internet, self-esteem should come up as we're finding our identity, family, and family tree in the scriptures. Here's one more insight. And this is from the example of the Father. On several occasions, you can look and count the number of times he said this. He publicly praised his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It's the principle of praising and catching your children doing things right. We could also call it the Pygmalion principle. Liza Doolittle, a guttersnipe, Professor Gibbons, finding the good in her, it transformed her. She became my fair lady. In order for us to help our children's self-image, they sometimes need the mirror of their parents to reflect back what the parents are seeing when the children have not recognized in themselves. This is the spirit of discernment, to observe, to give your daughters, your sons, a true reflection of who they really are, their identity. Who am I? The phrase "catching your children doing things right" was made famous several decades ago in a business book. But I came from the world of customer service, where we know that it's easier to catch people doing things wrong, not right. When our children behave the way that we expect them to behave, we generally will not notice. It's when they misbehave that we catch them, and we catch them doing things wrong constantly. So you have to make a conscious effort to be looking, to be observant, to catch them doing things right, to reflect back the principle of, this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. I was talking to my wife about this principle one day as we were driving down the freeway. We had 7 children. All of them were with us at that time. And I was sharing this principle of catching the children doing things right. You know, if you've got children, how frustrating it can be driving on the highway when they're not behaving right. And then the frustration, you might say, if you children don't behave, we're turning around and going right home right now, or something similar to that. While I was sharing this with my wife, I realized that the kids were all behaving right. There was no pinching, poking, yelling, and I would never have noticed it if I hadn't actually been talking to my wife about it. But I turned around and said, kids, thank you for being well behaved. My little 8-year-old Andy said, you're welcome, Dad. It takes effort to catch them doing things right, but it is one of the principles of the one perfect parent. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You need to be the mirror, the Pygmalion principle. Reflect back who they really are. You help them determine what their self-worth is. You are their best mirror. I'm grateful to be a parent. I'm grateful for my children, my grandchildren. I've certainly made a lot of mistakes, but I'm grateful for the loving Father in heaven who loves them more than we love our own children, and for the effect that he has on them. Leave that testimony and insight with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.